Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Companions on the Journey, a one-hour weekly program that provides the opportunity to deepen our faith in the Lord Jesus and to share with each other the moments of grace we have experienced. Monsignor Stephen McHenry, Pastor Emeritus of St. Anthony of Padua Parish in Ambler, Pennsylvania, is your host. Monsignor will be taking calls during the second half hour of his program. Call in and speak with Monsignor by calling 610-527-2906. And now, your host, Monsignor McHenry.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Companions on the Journey. It is Monday, the 22nd day of April, year of our Lord 2024. It's good to be with you. I'm happy to be with you. It's a beautiful spring day. A little cool, and if your allergies are in season, then their allergies are acting up. So I might have a little bit of a sniffle at times, and sometimes my eyes itch. But it's all a gift from the Lord. He enables us to, you know, be reminded of the good things that are happening all around us. So I'd like to welcome you to the program today. And just a reminder that in the second half hour, from 4:30 to 5, you can call in. 610-527-2906 is the number. And you can make a comment, you can ask a question, you can refer to something that I talk about in the first half hour. You can even bring up something from a previous broadcast that, you know, something that you thought about and say, I would really like to follow up with this question. So that's always a good thing to hear from you. And last week we had a couple call in. And so that opportunity will be there in the second half. I always like to begin our time together with some prayer. And so I ask you to take the time to, like, what are the situations and who are the people that are on your heart at the present time? One of them for me is the situation in the Middle East. You know, the rockets being fired one country to another. You know, it's just, it's a delicate, delicate thing, and it can escalate. We don't want it to escalate, so we have to pray for the Lord to mute those, the warlike voices and the ones that want to get even all the time and the ones that give in to the, you know, the violence and the hatred and the excess and so forth, that they can't carry the day. So that's one of mine that I'll be praying for today. But we also have people, situations, circumstances, health, people that we pray for, you know, because they're under the weather or because they're battling some kind of a major disease or situation, perhaps recovering from surgery of some kind. So these are people that we want to put in the Lord's hands and ask Him to place His hand, His healing hand upon them. If it's a cancer that needs to be cured, or heart disease that needs to be cured, or, you know, something happening with the kidneys or with the liver or whatever that is. I was talking with a gentleman in Wawa yesterday, day before. Stopped in to get some Wawa coffee. And he's been on the cash register a number of times when I went in, and just looked at him, and he said, need some prayer from you today, Father. I said, what do you need? He said, I'm going down to Kensington. I'm going to look for my son. And I said, you know, I lived in Kensington a number of years ago, and I said, that can be a tough part of the world. And he said, I'm just hoping that I'm going to find him okay. And I said, I will pray. You know, I will pray for your son. And he rang me up and so forth. And I grabbed my little bag and I was walking away and I turned around and I just pointed at him and I said, I will pray for your son. And I'm going to pray for him right now. That he's okay. That his father finds him okay and not under the influence. So whatever those intentions that you are, let's bring them all together. Let's put them before the Lord. Let's trust him. And let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the people that helped us to learn how to believe, whose faith, their own faith, touched our faith and helped us to realize, yes, I can believe this. Yes, I do believe this. Yes, Jesus is real for me. And Jesus, I want to draw close to you and I want to live for you and I want to live your way. And I want to try to treat people the way you treated people and the way you have treated me. So, Lord Jesus, we're grateful. And we gather this afternoon to listen to your word, to have it broken open for us. And we have many intentions that we like to place before you, but we believe in the power of prayer because it is your gift to us. And you prayed. And it was because you prayed that your disciples asked you to teach them how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray like you did. There must have been something, Lord, in what they saw and the way you were when you were praying or the way you were right after you had prayed. There must have been something there that they said, whatever that is, I want that. I want that. I want that for me. I want that for my spouse. I want that for my kids. I want that. And so, Lord, we ask you to hear the prayer that comes from our heart. We ask you to lead us into deeper prayer, especially before you in the Blessed Sacrament. We pray that there will be many chapels of reservation open where people can go and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. It is my prayer, Lord, that there be one in every parish that's open all the time for people to be able to go and to be able to be looked at with your look of love upon them. And so today we place our petitions before you. We ask you for your help and for your strength. We ask you for your care and your compassion. And we bring our concerns and we place them gently before you. And we know, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. Really, you are the good shepherd. And we need to be shepherded. We need to be shepherded now. We ask your special blessing upon all of those who are shepherds, that they be good shepherds and have a genuine care for the flock and lay down their lives and give of themselves to serve the people of God, your flock, O Lord. And we make this prayer as we make all our prayers in your name, now, forever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're at the part of the program which is called the question of the week, and it grew out of when I was the pastor of St. Anthony's. On the front bulletin, I would do a question of the week, and it would always flow from the gospel or one of the readings for that particular Sunday. It would be a little bit of a different take. And it would be on the front of the bulletin. And so when people come in and picked up the bulletin, if they took it into church with them, they say their opening prayers, they sit down, and then they could read that, and it would actually help to dispose them to what was going to be preached on a little bit later on. It would just kind of get them thinking, you know, and that's all it was for. So it was always based on the readings of that Sunday, and I just thought I'd bring that into the broadcast, and so that's what we do. The reading from yesterday is from the Gospel of John, and the fourth Sunday of Easter has a name. It's Good Shepherd Sunday, just like the second Sunday of Easter has a name. It's Divine Mercy Sunday. And so this was yesterday's reading. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 and following. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own, he sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep, he runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay, and he has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a very familiar passage to us because we hear it every year, and we hear that. So in my reflection on the readings, it struck me that because of its familiarity, sometimes when we hear something which is familiar to us, we have a category and we say, oh, good shepherd, I know what the good shepherd, I know what that's about, you know. And then there's a little thing that follows right after that. You say, I know what the good shepherd is about. I know what they're going to say. I know this. But the little corollary underneath it is, and therefore I don't have to pay as close attention because I know this. I'm familiar with this. I could talk about the good shepherd and what the good shepherd does. And so what happens, though, is we tend not to listen the way we normally would listen. And it's because we made a decision that we knew. The difficulty with that is you may know about, quote, the good shepherd and how that story is told and how the image is presented, but you don't know how this priest or this deacon is going to break that open for you. You don't know that. You have to listen in order to understand that. And so you do have to engage and you do have to listen. So that got me thinking about listening. And I must say, I was not always a good listener. I always enjoyed conversation, the back and forth of things. And in order to be a good conversationalist, you do have to listen to what the other person says. But like in families, now there isn't always good listening that's going on. You know, you kind of sense of what the other person's going to say, and you're ready to put your hand there and just move that aside and make your point. I call that listening with my motor running, you know. Like I got to get to someplace, you know. So I'm ready to, you know, put it right in gear and move out. So I don't even have to wait till you're done. I know what you're going to say, but I want you to hear what I'm going to say. And the difficulty with that is the quality of the listening starts to suffer a little bit. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm reflecting about this, and I'm praying about this. And I'm going back over my years as a priest, talking with people, listening to people in the front parlor, you know, couples coming in, making arrangements to get married or for their children to be baptized or enrolling them in the parish and things like that. And there are stories, and being present to the other person, you get to ask them and you get to draw them out a little bit and you get the sense of them. Like I would register the people who would come in the parish so that they would get a chance to see my face and get to know who I am as pastor, but I would get a chance to see them And I would get an opportunity to see them and ask them what their skills were, what their job was. You know, are you, you know, where do you work? And are you a homemaker? And, you know, what are you involved in the community? Or okay. So the listening became an important thing. And then the more I work with people in counseling and spiritual direction and so forth, the more I would just spend time. I mean, I could be with somebody for 40 minutes and not say very much at all because I'm just listening as they pour forth what's going on in their lives and what's in their heart. And then, you know, then I would take the opportunity to say, well, you know, this is what I hear. And as you were talking, this is what was kind of going on inside of me and so forth. But I learned that when I listened to people, it really made a difference. And that some people would even say, you know, Father, you're a good listener. And I would notice that the more I would listen, the more comfortable they would get, the more relaxed they would be. And then their conversation became a little easier. Sometimes, you know, people come in and they have difficult things to talk about. And, you know, it's hard enough for us to even realize those difficult things that are going on inside of us, let alone to talk to somebody about them, you know. And I know we live in the era, you know, where everybody has their personal therapist, but it's really difficult. A lot of times it really is difficult. And for that reason, people don't talk about it. They don't. And that's not a good thing. Whether you're talking to a therapist or just a trusted friend or a trusted family member, it's good to do some talking about things and to share what's going on inside of you, to share what's in your heart, etc. And so I've had people say to me, you know, when I'm with you and you listening to me, you make me feel very safe. And that was a new concept for me. Like, how could I make you feel safe? But it was like, because I listened to them, I was, without realizing it, sending a signal to them. And the signal was that I respected them, that I valued them, that they were important enough for me to spend time listening, not trying to talk them out of what they were saying, just listening to their conversation, taking them seriously. And people would say sometimes, you know, I don't feel like I'm listened to in my own family. Like, I say things, but I don't feel like my voice is heard. What's going on in my heart, I don't feel gets to the heart of the other people in my family. And then I've had people say, and you know what? I find I don't always listen to what they're saying to me. If I'm not interested in the subject matter, you know, I can become a little distant, you know, like part of me is in the conversation, but part of me is somewhere else. And I, in my own experience, I kind of sense when somebody is with me and listening to me, or when they're half-heartedly listening to me. I get that. And then one of the other things I've learned is that we send like the signal of you are safe, or you are respected, or you are worthwhile, or you are important. We can send that by our listening. We can also send the opposite of that. And so, like, if I'm not going to listen to you, inside me I'm saying, well, they don't really think I'm important enough to want to listen to what I have to say. And so I must not be important enough to them. They don't really respect me. You know, maybe they don't really care about me. They don't care enough to listen to me, to listen to the word that comes from my heart. And when people start to think like that, we don't even know it if we're on the other end of the conversation. We don't know that's going on. We know it when we're on that end of the conversation. If we're not being listened to, we know that little internal dialogue that goes on in our minds where we wonder, you know. And if we have a poor self-image or we've really struggled with that, then, you know, this kind of not being listened to, it feeds into that. And you start to say, oh, you know, I knew. And we don't think that we're worthwhile. We don't think we have anything to offer. We don't think we have a contribution to make. And then we start to think that what I do doesn't matter. What I contribute isn't really important. It doesn't really make a difference. And then we start thinking, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? And without and like a full-scale assault happening upon us, when I start asking what difference does it make what I do, I'm losing hope. I'm losing hope. And we can't afford to lose hope. The Lord doesn't want. It's one of the three things that lasts. You know, St. Paul says, in the end, three things that last. Faith and hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. But hope's like right up there. I mean, we have to believe it, and then we have to hope for that which we do not see, but we believe is available to us and is going to come to us, and so we hope for it without seeing it. It's really, really important for us to live. I actually think that virtue of hope being missing is one of the things behind the very, very modern tendency not for young people not to get married. If you talk to anybody who's a Catholic priest, in the last 10 years, especially in the last 5, young Catholic people are just not getting married, not very many. I mean, in my time at St. Anthony's, like a big year would be like 40 weddings in a year. Typical year would be 25 weddings, 28 weddings, 22 weddings. It would be like that. Low year would be like 15 weddings and so forth. The last several years, it's been under 10, 9 weddings, 8 weddings. And you say, well, there are fewer young people. Yes, there are. But there are way fewer weddings. And fewer families. And that's because hope is missing. If you're not hopeful that you can have a child and bring that child up, and the world will be a little better for them than it was for you, if you can't hope that, then why have the child? Why get into a relationship? Why make the commitment? And in the second part of our program, I'm going to talk about commitment. I'm going to talk about covenant and how important it is from God's point of view. So I'm talking about, excuse me, listening and being listened to. And the reason that I go into that is because when we hear the story of the Good Shepherd and we think we know, I just want you to go back to the other readings from yesterday. There was a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and it was basically Peter in front of the Sanhedrin. And this is after Pentecost. And Peter and John had gone up to the temple, and there was a crippled man there. And they said, silver and gold we have none, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and pick up your mat and walk. And the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. The problem was that he picked up his mat on the Sabbath, and you're not allowed to do that. It's considered servile work. Okay, so he gets into big trouble with the Pharisees and some of the Sadducees and the temple priests and so forth. Okay, so they say, you know, you're blaspheming, you're violating the commandment, overlooking the fact that this guy's been crippled all these years and now he could walk, you know, like, well, that's not a little thing. That's like a big thing, you know. So, but no. Okay, you did a really good thing, but you did it on the wrong day. Really? That's offensive to God? I mean, that's the viewpoint. But we do that sometimes, you know, and we miss what's really going on. It's right there to be seen. And we have all these preconditions. Preconditioned mindsets. It has to happen a certain way or it's wrong or it's not of God. So Peter says, listen, if we're going to be put on trial for doing a good deed to a cripple. Let me tell you, we did it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay. So eventually they're going to be flogged because he did that. And they rejoiced, not in that they were flogged, but that they rejoiced that they were able to stand up for the Lord. See, they hadn't stood up for him on the night when he was taken, that Holy Thursday night. They hadn't stood up for him. And they were afraid. They were afraid in the upper room on that Easter Sunday evening. They were afraid, and the doors were locked. They were afraid they were going to come and get them too. The leaders and their officers, their guard, they were afraid. And so here they are. Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit's taken hold of them, and they're saying, "Oh, Lord, we're going to stand up for you. And whatever comes to us because of that, it comes to us because you have hold of us now. You've taken hold in your spirit." So there's something different that happens. And we'll talk more about that when we get to Pentecost. So anyhow, Peter's talking about this. And so I'm thinking, we have this understanding of Peter and John. Well, they were apostles, you know, they were at the Last Supper. They were the first bishops, you know, one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. They were that. Okay. So they're those guys, but that's not me. Okay. And they can say, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And we pray for people all the time. I do, you do. We did at the beginning of our time here this afternoon. We pray for people, and our prayer for those people is real. What about praying over people? What about invoking the name of Jesus, not in an angry way, but in a prayerful way? Invoking the name of Jesus Christ over a person and saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your sight. Receive your heart back to you again. Receive your soul back to you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you for what you've done to me. I no longer hold you bound by that. In the name of Jesus Christ." And do we listen to that first reading yesterday? Or were we listening? Did we really hear what was being said there? Or did we kind of, I think I knew that. See that? I kind of knew that. But I didn't enter into that. I didn't really listen. I surely didn't listen with the ear of the heart that says, like, what's the message in here for me? What's the further question? What are they trying to ask of me to understand? But that's all in there. I just want you to think and to reflect today about the next weeks when you go to church. Are you prepared in your heart to listen to God's word, to listen to the lyrics of the hymns, to listen to them, to listen to the prayers that are prayed? I mean, really listen to them, not just hear them, but listen to them, to listen to the word of the preacher that breaks open the word. Say, "Oh, you know, he's boring and he goes long and everything." Okay, so there's nothing in there that could be helpful to you. There's nothing in there that God might want you to be reflecting upon and so forth, because you already decided that he's not worth listening to. Do you see what I'm talking about? Listening is essential to communicating. If God's revealing and I'm not listening, there's no communication there, and it's surely not on God. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and then I'll be back for the second half of our program. Thanks for being with us so far.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we are back, and before I go into the next part of our broadcast today, just a reminder that you can talk up to people, tell them that we're on 800 AM WTMR, and also if you go to Facebook, you can put in the search In His Sign Catholic Radio, and then you what will come up on Facebook is the studio. And you'll be able to watch what's going on, and you can see me, and I can interact with you a little bit when you call in. And speaking of calls, we have one, a caller, so I believe that's line one. So we do that and that. Good afternoon, Jane.
Good afternoon, Monsignor.
How are you today?
I could not. Well, when let's get down to the crux of the matter. I have been learning to listen through the years. I could absolutely identify with the things that you said earlier in my life. You know, I know all about that. And on to the next
Yes, really.
But something really, really resonated with me today when you mentioned the man, Wawa Kensington.
Yeah, yeah.
My son, Jim, came back to the Catholic faith after 40 years away and is now a Catholic evangelist and spends a good bit of time ministering at Wawa's.
Well, you know,
because be where the Lord calls him and sometimes other places, but he's on the road and he's retired. He has a lot of illnesses, but he's able to do this and his heart's on fire for God.
Yeah, that's great.
But what resonated was in Kensington, I would say about 30 years ago, I was at an airport in Phoenix on my way back to Philadelphia after having visited my sister and brother-in-law there. And I was alone. I came quite early. They had to drop me off early. And there was one man in the waiting area, up, you know, waiting for the plane to come in. And I guess we were about, I was probably about 2 hours early. I heard him kind of sobbing over the phone. And he was about, I would say, 15 feet from me. And I was sitting there. And he said, "Yeah, I came here for, I'm going back to Philadelphia for my mother's funeral." He said, he says, "As you know, I was born in Kensington and my family's still there." And he said, "I'm going back alone because I have a ministry here." And I thought, I've got to talk to this man. When he got off the phone, he had his head down. And I went over and I said, "Excuse me, I wasn't deliberately listening, but I heard your phone call." And I said, "I just wanted you to know that I'm here visiting and I'm going back to Philadelphia. I'm from that area." And I said, I was familiar with a lot of ministries there. And he said, "Well, thank you so much." And so So I said, I will pray for you. And he said, thank you, and kind of like went to turn away. And I said, I'll pray for you right now if you want me to. And he said, oh, I would really appreciate that. So we held hands, bowed heads. I didn't care what was around us, and I prayed, you know, for his trip back to Philadelphia and consolation. And so when we stopped, I said, oh, you know, mentioned Kensington, and I said, oh, I'm familiar with St. John's Hospice. He almost screamed at me, are you kidding me? He said, they saved my life. He said, I was a street drug addict. And he said, they literally took me off the street and changed my life.
Yeah.
He said, turned me around. I repented, you know, came back to the Catholic faith. And
yeah,
about
that.
I said,
great
well,
stuff.
We're brothers and sisters no matter what. But I said, I'm also a Catholic. And I said, yeah, they come up to our St. David's once a year and they witness about the wonderful ministry there.
Mm.
And he said, well, I founded my own ministry. He said, but obviously it's under the auspices of the bishop out here in Arizona. So it was astounding.
Yeah.
No coincidence.
No. It's all grace, Jane. It's all
yeah.
grace. Yeah, it's all grace.
So Wawa, where my son goes, Kensington, and I thought I've got to call Monsignor and say, yes, everybody listen, because it might be your last chance. And I was given many chances, and it took me to, you know, step by step by step, and now I'm every single day I'm called to listen. And I said, what do you want today? Let me listen to you first, and then let the day fall into place. So thanks again, Monsignor. You're always hitting the it's like you have an arrow and hit right where it needs to be hit.
Well, thank you, Jane. You're very kind always. You're very kind to me. And I thank you for calling in. And just keep praying. You know, like sometimes you think of a person that you encountered 25, 30, 40 years ago. I think that's the Lord saying, say a little prayer for that person. Just
thank you.
Just
I
do
often
that.
Do, but I would have probably forgot today. So thank you.
All
I
right.
will.
God bless you, Jane.
I believe that.
Thank
God
you.
Bless
I believe
you.
That too. All righty. I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. So it's good to be back with you, and I want to thank Jane for calling in. She's very faithful. I've known Jane for many, many years. And so in any event, I'm grateful for her comment. And just following through with the theme of the Good Shepherd, you know, the Lord, he sends people to take care of us, to help us out, to speak a word when we need to speak a word, to lend a helping hand when we need a helping hand. And a lot of times we tend to think, well, that was a nice coincidence, or, you know, what a stroke of luck, you know, or a little bit of serendipity, you know, or, well, you know, it was good karma. No, none of those things. It wasn't a stroke of luck. It wasn't serendipitous. That's really not what it was. It's all grace. It's all grace. It's all around us. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, that's what he means. That grace is all around us all the time. And when we believe it, we start to be able to access it in a way that we've never been able to access it before, because we never knew it was there before. But that's what he's saying. And grace always finds a way to accomplish. And that's why, you know, impossible things, they get done. If you've seen the movie Cabrini, you start to see some of the impossible things that Mother Cabrini was facing. And you say, no, you just have to give up. She never gave up. She found a way, and she got it done. That's at the heart of our faith. Jesus is not defeated on the cross. He looks like he's defeated in the moment. Everybody thought it was the worst thing in the world. And what comes out of that is a thing called resurrection. New life that doesn't ever end. Only through the defeat, only through the cross, comes the resurrection. he found a way to break through from this life of woundedness into the life that is all eternal and healed. That's what we're interested in. That's what's really, really important to us. And so we hear the story of the Good Shepherd, and we, oh yes, Jesus is a Good Shepherd and stuff. But you know, the more you study the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, God had this thing with lambs. I don't fully grasp it. I really don't. But if you go back to the Passover, and you take the lamb, and it has to be like a 1 year old and not damaged in any way, like a good, okay. And then you're going to slay this lamb at this time, and you're going to have all the blood drain out of the lamb. And then you're going to prepare it, and you're going to cook it. And the Passover meal was that lamb, was roasted lamb. What we have lost sight of is that's a covenant meal. We don't have covenant meals anymore. But let me just unpack that a little bit. The idea of a covenant is an agreement. In antiquity, if you go back to the time of Abraham, that's 4,000 years before, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years or so before Christ. So it's a long time ago. They had agreements, but it was, most people were illiterate. So how would you enter into an agreement? We enter into an agreement today with a handshake and a signature, and our word is our bond. And you can take a piece of paper that you have signed, and that's going to be believed by other people, that piece of paper, the words on that piece of paper, because your signature vouches for that. And so it'll hold up in court. You know, what did you say? Oh, well, you signed this. I didn't read it. Well, but you signed it. And so it says, I'm bound by all the words on this piece of paper. That's part of the agreement. That's part of the covenant. In the antiquity, a covenant was entered into by usually unequal partners. One had a little more than the other. So I need something from you. And so in order for me to get that from you, I will pledge this. I'll give you what you want in return for you giving me what I need. And then they would enter into the covenant. But before there were signed agreements and there weren't any, you know, documents, you know, to record this, they had to do other things. And so what they did in Abraham's time, they would take some animals and they would slay them. And they would actually cut them in half, and they would have a little path, and they would put part of the animal on either side of the path. And then the two people who are entering into the covenant, they would walk through the slain animals. And the symbolism was, we're walking together through this, and if I do not keep up my end of the bargain, may I end up like these animals, cut in half and dead. So that's a real primitive way of sealing an agreement, but it's very effective. I mean, like, people get it. They understand life and death, and they understand a binding word, okay? And so that's what's recorded in Genesis with Abraham. Now, when it's the living God who enters into covenant with us, the living God is invisible. So how does the living God enter in it? How does he walk through? And so in the Abraham story, there was a torch. And the torch represents the living God. And Abraham, they go through together. And so God is entering into the covenant with the people. Now, fast forward to the time of Moses and the slavery of the people in Egypt, the Hebrew people. And Moses is told by God, you're going to lead the people out. And so he goes to Pharaoh over and over again, and we know about the plagues and things. But when it comes time for the last plague, it's the angel of death is going to go over the people of Egypt. And the people of Israel are told, you take the blood of the lamb and you put it on your doorpost and your lintels. And then you take the lamb and you roast the lamb and you go in and you have a meal. But you're not going to be able to, it's not business as usual. You're not going to put any yeast in the dough so that the bread would rise. You're in a hurry because you're going to be leaving town. And so it's unleavened bread and it's Passover. The angel of God is going to pass over and spare the Israelite people, even as it takes the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And so it's a Passover meal, and it's covenantal. It's God entering into the covenant. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you. I will lead you out of slavery into the promised land. I will do this for you. You will be faithful to me. You will obey me. You will keep my commandments, and I will take care of you. That's the covenant. And so they ate of the lamb. At every Passover, they eat of the lamb for 1,200 years. And then at the Last Supper, when Jesus is eating with his apostles, it's a Passover meal. And so he's eating with his apostles of the lamb. But in the course of that meal, he says of the bread, this is my body. And of the wine, this is the cup of my blood. And John the Baptist had already said, he is the Lamb of God. And so, there has to be a new way to eat of the Lamb, of the Passover Lamb. It's no longer going to be a Lamb that is slain, because the Lamb, the one who called himself the Good Shepherd, because he has been slain. And if you read in John's Gospel, the Gospel that we read from yesterday, if you read in John's Gospel, Jesus is slain in such a way that at the end, when the centurion pierces his heart with the lance, and it says, immediately there comes forth blood and water. And so you have all of the blood out of the body of the Lamb. So he's the kosher Lamb. He's perfect. He's the perfect kosher Lamb. And we are to eat of him. Well, how do you eat of him? This is my body, which is given up for you. This is the cup of my blood given up for you. Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man. How do I eat of the flesh of the Son of Man? This is my body, the bread. This is the cup of my blood, the wine, which is now his precious blood. That's how you eat. That's the covenant meal. And this is the blood in the new covenant, Jesus says. He's the definitive covenant, happens right there, Holy Thursday and Good Friday. That's what happens. And so the whole Passover ritual of freedom, that's fulfilled in that moment. But it's not freedom from slavery to the Romans. It's freedom from slavery to sin and freedom from slavery to death. That's the heart of it. And that's what we need the most. Well, yes, it's great to be free from anybody who oppresses us. We don't want to live in that kind of slavery. But the worst kind of slavery is when we're the slave of our sins. The worst kind of slavery is the slavery to death, that we can't get away from it. We can't get out from under it. It just comes for everybody, and it takes the life out of us. But not anymore because of what Jesus brought. Not anymore because of what Jesus did. And so that's really what we have to be focusing our attention on. Like this covenant, God made a covenant with the people of Israel in Abraham first and then down all the way through the ages, and then he renews it in a different way, more intensely, with a deeper understanding, a deeper reality, until it comes to the definitive covenant in Jesus. And then we eat of his flesh and we drink of his blood, and it's real. We're not just pretending. It's not symbolic. It's real. And we're asked to believe a real thing. And it's, and you know, this week in the last week in the daily mass readings is from John chapter 6. And some of Jesus' disciples, when they hear him say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, they say, this is a hard saying. Who can abide this? And they stop following him. I think it still goes on in the 21st century. Some people say, you know, this Jesus thing, it's hard. What he's teaching is pretty demanding. I like what my culture says. I like that better than what Jesus says. I don't know whether I need Jesus. Well, you know, of course, we don't need Jesus until we really do. We don't need Jesus until our sin is overwhelming us. We don't need Jesus until the people that we love start to die. We don't need Jesus until we get really sick and we're going to die. Then we might need Jesus. Then we might need him a lot. And of course he says, I'll be there for you then. But it's better if you would come to me now. I'm really good. I'll take care of you. I'll be a good shepherd for you. That's part of the meaning. Can you hear me? My sheep hear my voice. Can you hear me? We hear that Verizon thing. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Jesus is saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Do you hear what I'm really saying? Do you hear who I really am? Do you hear what I really want for you? Do you hear what I've really brought for you? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Are you listening for it? Do you dare to believe that you'll hear it today? So this is really the essence of our faith. It's something that has an impact on our daily lives, our interaction with other people, our relationships with other people. It really does make a difference. And so we're going to conclude in just a moment with the prayer for our family members who have gone away from the practice of the faith. Maybe one of the things that we could work on is, Lord, how can I be a good shepherd in my family? How can I be a good shepherd? How can I be a better listener in my family? How can I do that? And then just listen. And he'll speak. You'll get a prompting. You'll get something that wells up from inside of you. Our God is not a silent God. He speaks all the time, but sometimes he uses words. Sometimes he uses other things. Sometimes he uses our feelings. Sometimes he uses our intuition. Sometimes he uses a bodily sensation that we get. He uses all kinds of things. Sometimes he uses the voice of other people. Sometimes he uses the scriptures. Sometimes he uses the sacraments. Sometimes he uses the mass. Like he's in all of those things. He's speaking word in all of those things. He wants to make sure we hear him. But if we're not listening, it's really difficult for him to be heard. And our faith is what says, I want to be listening, Lord. I want to listen to what you have to say. I want to be there for you. And so we're thankful and we're full of praise to God because he has come to visit us. He's come to be with us. He's come to abide with us. He's come to speak a word to us. And when you have those little moments in the airport or like I did with the fellow in the Wawa store, don't be afraid to say to somebody, I'll pray with you, or even right now, I'll pray with you. Just say, Lord, be with them in this time. We're a family member and say, I will pray for you. I'll pray with you. I'll pray over you. That's not limited to certain people. Anybody can pray over somebody else. and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, if you do it a couple times, then you do know how to do it. And I'll tell you this. If you do that, if you say, I'm going to pray over you, and then you stammer and you stutter, nobody's going to contradict you and say, well, that was a lousy prayer. They're not going to do that. They're going to accept your prayer for them because they're saying, you know what? This person's praying over me in the name of Jesus. We can do that. He calls us to do that. And so right now we're going to finish with the parents' prayer for our children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They've turned for meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they're basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules, commandments, mandates. There's little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There's need to grasp this simple truth. There is a need, a deep need, to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital to their lives, to their love, to their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real and realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord. We so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return, as do we. It is for this return we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved son, we pray. Amen. May Almighty God bless us all this day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all for tuning in, and spread the word that you've heard today, and encourage other people to come and to listen, and to check in through the radio or through Facebook, and come to In His Sign Radio, and share the message. And then encourage people to listen and encourage people to tell other people, and that the good word becomes an even better word and it sustains us. God bless you. I'll be with you next week.